2. What's cracking? Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California, broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, it's getting hot up in here. Lots to get done. Coming up in 35 minutes, Royal second baseman Whit Merrifield. Next hour, Daniel Cormier, UFC light heavyweight champion, is going to join me in studio. Once again, that's going to be the fight of the year. That should be the fight of the year in the UFC. John Jones and Daniel Cormier. We know about their history. We know how they feel about each other. Daniel Cormier in studio sometime in hour number 3. So between now and then, still lots to get done. We talked about the Cavaliers. You've got your telephone number, 1-800-636-8686. Smack Off Week is spinning quickly. Friday is the big day. It's still not too late to get in. If you're not going to be a part of it, it does mean you can't be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to be on the air that day to participate in the program. And I'll tell you exactly what I mean by that a little bit later on. It's got something to do with social media, as you might imagine. Speaking of social media, while the Cavaliers are imploding, the Warriors are continuing to do a worldwide victory lap. It's hard to believe that it was only a few weeks back that these two teams were on the same court. And it was thought at that time that the Cavaliers might actually have a chance. They might have a chance against Golden State. Now the Cavs are a complete and total mess, and the Warriors are simply clowning. Like, take Klay Thompson. He goes to China. He goes viral with one great moment after another, including missing a 360 dunk and then falling on his back like a Life Alert actress. Or Steph Curry going to China, clowning Klay with a missed 360, and then when asked about it, saying, hashtag China Klay. And then you've got Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, who is coming off his first championship. And you've got some character named Kelso Ball tweeting. Ball tweets, hey, at KD Trey 5. I named my dog after you, and he left me. What's up with that? That's his tweet. See, you see what Kelso did there, right? He made a joke about the fact that Kevin Durant, who was a free agent last summer, decided that he would rather play for another team in another city. Very fresh stuff, Kelso. Not at all tired. Not at all stale. Very original. Except in the case of KD, maybe you forgot he checks his mentions every now and then. And maybe you also forgot that he will go. KD is the rare superstar who will go. On social media, and he did go in this case. He fired right back with, quote, you must be a piece of bleep emoji. You must be a piece of crap if a dog chooses to live in the streets instead of your house. Please, KD, don't hurt him. That's a vicious dunk. That's fire. Straight fire. That's him taking off from the free throw line and throwing it right down on Kelso's head. And the best part of it was that Kelso was so proud of himself for that joke that he practically turned to the crowd and was mean mugging before KD wrecked him. Then some other dude, Twitter dude, tweets, at KD Trey 5. How does it feel to know any of your followers could join the Warriors on the same contract and Golden State would still win the finals? And then KD fires right back with, so, I should be grateful to be so lucky to be randomly chosen out of billions to be a member of the NBA champs. Ha! Normally, I would say that guys like KD should not be checking their mentions because it's a viper pit of negativity. It can only end horribly for KD or any star athlete who does, who checks them and decides to respond. But I'll be real. I love that this guy checks his mentions. How many other superstars are trading shots on Twitter? You don't see other stars clowning guys on Twitter. They play it safe. They never say anything about anything. They never let you inside. KD, though, will pull back the curtain a little bit, which is what Twitter really is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about celebs who only tweet when they've got something to sell. KD on Twitter is like those clips of KD from Rucker Park back in the day. Playing loose and free against mere mortals, killing fools and making it look easy. Again, usually the only athletes who trade shots are not the best of the best, and none of them fire back like KD. I don't recommend it for everybody. You've got to be good. No, you got to be great. You got to be great, and most guys aren't. Most guys who do it end up shooting themselves in the foot, but KD is just ethering one Twitter clown after another. Once again, I would normally caution athletes about getting hooked by no-lifers with absolutely nothing to lose. But I don't need to waste that advice on KD because obviously he can handle himself on the floor and with a keyboard in front of him or a phone in his hand. And if any of you losers want to try KD, do it at your own risk. Then again, getting ethered by a Hall of Famer probably is still the best thing that could ever happen to a lot of you. And it will happen to you if you try that guy the way that guy did and others have. It goes badly for you, not him. The Smack Off is Friday. We're previewing the field. We're giving you a sense of what it's going to sound like. And again, unless you're really involved with social media and understand social media, you're missing out on a great opportunity for the Smack Off on Friday. Earlier this week, I said, how are you going to listen? What are you going to do with that day? Where are you going to be? It's kind of an old school approach. I used to say, what are you going to do? Are you going to get that day off? There's more to it than what are you going to do and are you going to get that day off? How engaged are you going to be? How interactive are you going to be with it? It's not just a matter of, I went to the lake, I went to the beach, I went to my backyard, I went to my man cave, and I turned on the box. You can be a part of the show without calling the show. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. In terms of the guys who were in, obviously you've got your defending champ, Lef in Laguna. The big question is, what is he going to do? After all, it was Brandon Corona who glossed him, quote, a gimmicky little bitch. He's got gimmicks. He's got devices. But he also has takes.
We'd be the first to welcome him to the 2017 plaque-off because he's got them golden chiclets. Wait, hang on, Romy. Oh, he just self-flossed. Plaquey, spit a yellow chomper. LeVar would have been a great addition to the field, though, Romy. He could have teamed up with Passan with all those hot dog jokes because LeVar can bring the mustard. That's it for me, Romy. This call's getting a little long in the tooth. Extract me.
He's talking about LeVar Ball. Getting a little long in the tooth. He self-flossed. He's got a golden chiclet. So Lef's got some takes. He's got some gimmicks. He's got some devices, but he's got some takes. Then you've got Caleb. Caleb from his last Smack Off call. And then the question, does he have another cameo?
The time has come for the coronation of King Caleb the First. I'm shocking the world! I'm shocking the world!
Sweetie, are you cleaning your room?
Mom, get off the landline. I'm on with Rome.
The guy from Space Jam?
Yes, I told you, it's the Smack Off.
Caleb, will he come with another cameo? Then you got Mike and Indy. I've got some long-form thoughts on Mike that I'll try to get to a little bit later on. But in the interim, Mike in Indy with a half a title. Is it possible that a guy without a full title, but rather a half a title, is the best caller in the history of the show? Mikey seems to think so.
You see, Rome, when it comes to best caller ever, I don't need to schedule things with any script writers. I don't have to transfer funds to script writers like Brad and Corona. I got takes for days. It's an all-day situation. If any of you punk-ass busters want to step up, come and get it. Vic and Nokai wants to call every month. I'll call once a day. Left from Laguna Beach, you want a piece of me? Brad and Corona, you want a piece of me? I go hard in the paint because y'all can't. I go hard in the paint because y'all can't.
My man rhymed can't with paint. Quote, if any of you punk-ass busters want to come in here, he goes hard in the paint because y'all can't. Mike and Indy, best caller ever with a half a title, maybe. And if it's not Mike, it's got to be Brad, right?
Here's a quick spoiler alert, guys. Cover your ears. Mark's going to make his phone call this year from the Hollywood Costco. Yeah, that's where he panhandles in the parking lot Friday through Sunday. Then he enters that raffle for the free motorcycle, sneaks into the store, and feeds himself on all the free samples. Mark, I got a super hot tip. They're going to be putting out those mini frozen pizzas Friday. So you should probably get your phone call out of the way early and get over there before the lines get out of control.
All this is going down before it all goes down. So if that's how that sounds the week of, or if that's how that sounds prior to, what's it going to sound like on Friday? It's going to sound amazing. It's going to sound incredible. You got to be hyped on that. Smack Off 23, Friday. Make sure you're there and you're ready. 1-800-636-8686. You know what? What the hell? I'm feeling good. It's Smack Off week. Not that this guy would ever get anywhere near any Smack Off, but it's not Smack Off. It's Smack Off week. What the hell? What do I care? I'm in a good mood. The show's going well. It's the biggest week of the year. Let's go to Parody Larry. Larry, barely even had to wait, Larry, and you're on the air. What's going on, Lawrence?
Oh, everything's good, Jim. Hey, listen, I can't wait for Friday, but there's a guy in the field that you need to toss. So to the Wizard of Oz, ding-dong, the Zach is dead. Here we go. Zach in SLC, his takes are weak. The clones agree. Zach smokes the crack in SLC. Zach is a real deep bag. His crappy calls, they make us gag. Zach has no job in SLC. Lives in the basement all alone. He waits on hold with his flip phone. His slow-mo voice, it makes us groan.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very
ding
good
dong,
call.
Ding dong, Lawrence, you're dead. Anyway, what's poppin', Twitter? Whit Merrifield coming up later on this hour. Daniel Cormier coming up next hour in studio. Hopefully a better telephone call when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Friday Smack Off brought to you by one of my personal favorites, long-standing sponsor on this program, Lumber Liquidators. And you want to save a boatload of cash on flooring that's going to make all your neighbors envious, check out my pals at Lumber Liquidators. They are the lead sponsor for the Smack Off on Friday. Whit Merrifield's coming up in 20 minutes. Daniel Cormier right here in studio coming up in hour number three. Let me talk about Conor McGregor for a minute. I mentioned Mike Tyson was on Barstool Sports, Pardon My Take podcast. And when the topic of the fight came up, Mike Tyson said this about Conor McGregor, quote, "McGregor is going to get killed boxing," end quote. Mike went on, quote, "McGregor put his dumb ass in a position where he's going to get knocked out because this guy's been doing this his whole life since he was a baby. McGregor can't kick and grab and stuff. He's not going to stand much of a chance," end quote. So Mike's right, of course. Conor doesn't stand much of a chance. In fact, Conor probably has even less of a chance than that. And I probably couldn't care less. You know how many wars Conor McGregor would have to have in the cage to equal this one payday? How many wars he'd have to have in the cage? Depending on how he spends it, this is potentially bleep you money for Conor McGregor. He can walk off on this fight. That is, assuming he stops buying Lamborghinis and watches and houses and bleep you suits from my man David August. Assuming that he dials that stuff back, he'll be set. Even if he doesn't dial that stuff back, he's probably still set after this fight. He'll never have to fight ever again. And then on the off chance that Floyd were to get careless, or Floyd were to get arrogant, or Floyd were to get caught up in the moment, or Floyd had too much rust that he had to knock off, and that somehow, some way, McGregor lands that one shot. Maybe it's that huge left hand he has. Maybe he's developed another shot that we don't know about. And somehow, some way, that one in a million shot lands. And he does put Mayweather to sleep. Then it goes down as one of the greatest upsets in the history of sports, and McGregor's a legend. And even if it doesn't happen, Conor is just going to laugh at all of us, no matter how badly it goes for him. He's just going to laugh at all of us and say, "What the hell did you really expect? This guy's one of the best boxers ever, arguably the best boxer ever, and I was boxing professionally for the first and only time of my life. And I got paid more than $100 million. Sure, he beat me. Let's see him get in the cage. Let's see him get down the way we get down. In the meantime, I've got a meeting with my bankers. See you suckers never again." So even if Conor loses, he still wins. And if he wins, it's the biggest upset ever. Yeah, I mean, he's got no real shot of winning. He's got no real shot of winning, and this fight has very little chance of being interesting, but I still don't give a damn. And I'll tell you why. I feel like I've already gotten my money's worth. I've already gotten my $100 worth watching Conor go Conor. He might not be able to touch Mayweather in the ring, but he's already done something that pretty much nobody's ever done with Mayweather in the past, and that's pick him apart in the promotion leading up to that fight. In that regard, nobody's ever done it better than Conor McGregor. And for good measure, when he got tired of going in on Floyd, he went in on Draymond Green when the big fella took a run at him on Instagram. So what I'm saying is no athlete works social better than Connor, nor trolls harder than Connor. And for me, that's worth the price of admission alone. I've already gotten my money's worth. They haven't fought yet, and I already feel like I got my money's worth. And for that reason, I really don't care if the fight's horrible. I'm not even showing up for the fight. I'm showing up for the event. I'm showing up for the circus. I'm showing up for the scene. I already know what it's going to be. I know what I'm signing up for. And I've already gotten my money's worth. And on the off chance that something, anything compelling happens, that's a huge bonus. I'm good. I've already got my money's worth. And you better know that going in. If you know that going in, you can't possibly be disappointed. If you know that going in. 1-800-636-8686. What do you think? Are you into it? Are you going to watch it? How are you going to watch it? And how do you think it goes? The subject of this email is, holy crap. Rest in peace, Zach. Good freaking God. It's over.
Zach in SLC. His takes are weak. The clones agree. Zach smokes the crack in SLC. Zach is a real deep bag. His crappy calls, they make us gag. Zach has no job in SLC. Lives in the basement all alone. He waits on hold with his flip phone. His slow-mo voice, it makes us groan.
Rest in peace, Zach. Good freaking God, it's over. Like Larry, of all people, just dropped a bomb on this guy's head. Of course, that email was sent from somebody with an AOL address. Rest in peace, Zach. Good freaking God. Zach hasn't been coming around lately either. Here's some other reaction to Lawrence at ShocksRock 17 tweets. Take Parody Larry's golden ticket. Oh, wait. Never mind. Shane McDonald tweets. Didn't think it was possible for Parody Larry to get worse. I was obviously wrong. What are you talking about? That was like his best call ever. Other than him bum-rushing the set at the Super Bowl, that was his best moment in quite some time. That might have been his best moment ever. At Bleeds Iron tweets, Larry, lose your phone and never call again. Please. Thanks. At Mike in Toledo, sick burn from Larry, rhyming SLC with SLC.
SLC, his takes are weak. The clones agree. Zach smokes the crack in SLC. Zach is...
Actually, that's not true. He rhymed SLC with agree. That's not easy to do. At Gambling Engineer tweets, Parody Larry makes John in Little Rock look like Paul McCartney. Hey, listen, in fairness to John, he's not a one-hit wonder. He's not a one-hit wonder. I played you one of his hits, but then again, there was another hit. He might be a two-hit wonder.
Odom's on the pipe. Staying up all night. Odom's on the pipe. Staying up all night. The first time he smoked it, it almost blew his head off in the big city streets. Beep, 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 beep. The only difference is in the smokers. He needs to that. Odom's on a pipe.
John's got some miles on him now. I don't know. John maybe just can't go to the rack anymore. We have to wait and see. That was earlier in his career. But then again, those two smash hits are two more than Larry has. In fact, is it one? Is it two? Or does John really have a collection, a library, a catalog? There's more where that came from.
John in Little Rock.
Larry, your parodies come from under. Gorilla balls that smell like thunder. Your parodies come from under. Gorilla balls, you better let them go.
I mean, he's got a catalog to rival the Beatles. Who owns the rights to John and Little Rock's catalog? Chad and Lincoln doesn't care. Chad and Lincoln does not care that Larry gets run every single time he calls. How do I know? Because he tweeted that. Quote, even though Parody Larry gets run every time he calls, always makes me laugh no matter how bad they are. Is there anybody else listening who feels that way? or is it just Chad? Like John. John makes me laugh. Larry doesn't really make me laugh. Larry doesn't make me mad. I've got nothing against Larry. He just doesn't really make me laugh. John used to make me laugh. John at least made me laugh at one point. Larry's pretty much never made me laugh. Except when he came up on the set at Super Bowl and he wouldn't leave. That was funny. Kinda. Little bit. I mean, you tell me, is this funny or not? This guy shows up on Radio Row, which is not a hard thing to do anymore, at Super Bowl. They now let the fans in. Larry shows up, comes on the set when we were simulcasting on CBS Sports Network.
Carolina Panthers will win the Super Bowl. Camby plays like Superman, and Peyton's going to fold. The Bay is going to party. The game is quite a show. But nothing can compare to Rome on Radio Row.
All right. I mean, Deadspin even wrote that up. So Larry had his 15. Of course, they ended like 900 ago. Anyway, Whit Merrifield's coming up next. And then Daniel Cormier in hour number 3. Tom Brady turning 40. So you might wonder, if you're Tom Brady and you're rich and you're famous and you've got those resources and the 4-0 is a huge, huge birthday, how are you going to celebrate it? How crazy do you think Brady gets? Got that coming up for you. Minnesota Twins failing Big Bart. It's a huge disappointment to everybody, Twins fans and otherwise. And more thoughts on the smack off. It's a huge week. All that still ahead. But first, a sports update. Here's the very latest. This time.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember to trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes. They're an exact fit for your car, brands that you know you can trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, Wagner Thermal Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Quick email. Rome, I'm having trouble waiting until the third hour for at DC MMA. One trade-off that we're seeing because of next month's Super Bout is that DC versus Bones Jones has really flown under the radar, and I think it deserves a bit more hype. But that's what happens when you get into bed with boxing. It's more about the show than the substance. So any real fight fans, or real sports fans for that matter, should throw down for UFC 214. Sincerely, wearing a vest with no shirt underneath, staring down an auto insurance adjuster, offering ladies shots, quote, on me at an all-inclusive resort, and impacted earwax. Wore Daniel Cormier riding a dirt bike into the octagon. Wore the dirt bike being left in the octagon by accident. Wore Dana White donating a UFC-branded tire iron to the Smack-Off prize pack. Joaquin, there is no prize pack. There's a $5,000 check. That's it. $5,000. $5,000 to the winner. That's it. Hey, but Joaquin, thank you very much for playing along. As always, nice to see you. And that well is not run dry yet. As promised, we're joined right now by a second baseman for the Kansas City Royals. He's having a big year. He is sixth in the American League with 16 steals, hitting .288, 10 home runs, 41 runs batted in. He was a ninth-round pick back in 2010 out of South Carolina. Kansas City is in second in the AL Central. They're at Detroit tonight. Whit Merrifield is my guest. Whit, nice to have you back on. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing?
I'm great. Great to talk to you, as always. So you win the series opener in Detroit last night. Whit, Salvador Perez and Mike Moustakas hit consecutive home runs in the 12th. You've won six straight. You're in one of the wild card spots right now, and you're only a game and a half out of first. So how much fun is it to go to the yard every single night right now?
It's exciting. There's a bunch of energy in the clubhouse right now, and it's kind of getting to that point in the season where a lot of moves start happening, and people start making this late push to the playoffs. So it's a real exciting time to be in the clubhouse right now, and we're enjoying every day of it.
You know, it's one thing to be winning, but it's not to be winning the way you are. As an example, on Sunday, you had a pair of home runs, including one that tied the game in the eighth, before Brandon Moss won it in the ninth. So as a team, you've had four walk-offs in that homestand, and six of your last eight wins have come in the team's final at-bat. So how do you explain the team being that locked in when the pressure is at its highest?
It's just kind of what we do. We kind of have a flair for the dramatic. For whatever reason, I don't know, but the team seems to, whenever we're down and our back's against the wall, we seem to kind of rally and kind of thrive in that moment, in that situation.
Royal second baseman Whit Merrifield joining us once again. Now, the team made a move yesterday. They add pitching in a trade with the Padres. So what kind of a message does that send the clubhouse in terms of what the team is willing to do to win right now?
Yeah, you know, when we heard about the trade, we all just kind of looked at each other and, you know, said, it's go time now. You know, we're all in. We're committed to winning, and we're committed to winning right now. And it's exciting. Like I said, it's a lot of fun to come to the park every day. And when you got, you know, the front office that believes in your team this year, it's a lot of motivation to go out and perform well every day and win.
What's it like in the clubhouse the week of the trade deadline? I mean, for instance, we're less than a week away. So is this something that you guys talk about in the clubhouse and pay attention to, or is this something y'all just kind of block out until it's over?
No, guys keep their eyes on it. We had a kind of a unique situation this year with so many guys that were going to be free agents at the end of the year. So depending on how our season went, was kind of dictated their future. So we had guys looking at it, and we didn't want to break this team up. We love this team, and we're a tight family here. So we wanted to win so we could keep these guys on the team and you know, make a run at it this year. So. But guys keep an eye on it.
Royal second baseman Whit Merrifield joining us. Now, when you were on the show last summer, we talked a little bit about your journey, but Ned Yost was talking about it again after Sunday's win. He reminded everybody that back in 2015, you were left unprotected in the Rule 5 draft and that anybody could have taken you, but nobody did. What do you remember about that time, and then what's it like to be where you are right now?
Oh, that was an interesting time in my career. You know, just kind of looking at it, thinking, what do I got to do for people to notice me? You know, the year I went unprotected, I hit, I think, 340. I had 11 home runs and stole almost 30 bases. And, you know, it was just one of those things where I was kind of questioning whether I'd ever get an opportunity to play at this level. And, you know, I got the opportunity last year and played pretty well. Didn't make the team out of spring training this year, which gave me a little more motivation to start the year, and have made the most of my opportunity this year. So all I ever wanted was an opportunity, and I'm just fortunate and blessed that I've, you know, done the most of it.
If you don't mind, why don't you elaborate on that? For instance, you had a big year last year. You had a really nice year last year where you came up in May. You hit .283. You had 22 doubles. And as you point out, you find out that you start this season in the minors. A lot of guys in your situation may have sulked. They may have started the season in a bad way, but you absolutely raked while you were in Omaha. So what was your attitude and your approach when it came to that situation?
It was just another, you know, opportunity to prove people wrong. That's kind of been really the story of my whole career I really like to prove people wrong. I like when people say things about me that I know aren't true and that I know I can do something about. So, you know, they didn't. It was a decision that they made, and you know, I respect their decision. It wasn't my decision to be made, but I knew that I could bring something to the table that this team needed, and I wanted to be on this team. I know what it was like in the big leagues. I wanted to get back to the big leagues, and I knew if I went down there and stole, it wasn't going to do anybody any good. So I went down there and I worked hard, and you know, I was focused every day. It's hard to do in the minor leagues, but I made it a point to really lock in and really focus every game and every at bat. And fortunately, my stay down there wasn't too long.
Whit Merrifield joining us. So it would seem that you've made your point. I mean, that's all behind you now, and you're looking ahead. And I say that because your own manager Ned Yost now refers to you as, quote, a fixture. So do you feel like you've established yourself as a major league player and that is all behind you? Or is that something maybe you never allow yourself to think and you maintain an edge if you don't think that way?
No, I think at this point, I feel like I belong. I feel like I'm a big leaguer, but there's still a lot for me left to prove. You know, there's still an edge to my game that I need to keep proving myself, and that's what motivates me every day. And but I feel comfortable here in the big leagues. It's no longer like last night, for example, we were facing Verlander. It's no longer kind of an awe, like, oh, I'm facing Justin Verlander. Now it's, okay, what do I got to do to beat this guy? So it's a cool place to be.
Yeah, wait, speaking of Verlander, a lot of talk about him with the trade deadline coming up. How did he look to you last night? I mean, is he as nasty and as filthy as he's always been? Is he the same pitcher he's always been, Cy Young Verlander?
He's pretty nasty. He's, you know, he's, I think he threw 119 pitches last night, and in his 119th pitch happened to be to me, and it was a 97-mile-an-hour fastball kind of at the letters. He's got such good stuff. He throws four pitches that are all really, really good pitches, and he's got good command, and it's just electric stuff. So he looks like he's in rare form, and he's pitching well.
All right, before I let you go, you're a fan favorite in Kansas City. Every time I tweet or I mention that I'm going to have you or another Royal on the show, I get a huge response from Kansas City Royal fans. So what's it like to play in that town and in front of those fans in particular?
It's a baseball town, man. It really is. The people show up. We had our game Sunday. It was, I think it was 125 degrees on the field, the heat index. And it was, I don't know, we probably had 20, 25,000 people in the stands, and they're loud. They're in the game. They know what's going on. It's just an incredible town to be a part of, and I can't wait to hopefully experience what it's like in postseason baseball.
I want to finally ask you about a video that I saw you post on Instagram in May. It was of somebody absolutely raking in batting practice in Tampa. Was that your father? And if so, what do you make of his swing?
Yeah, that was Pop. That was the first time I've ever seen him swing, to be honest with you. He was a two-time All-American at Wake Forest, two-time ACC Player of the Year, actually, and played a little pro ball, but never seen video of him swinging for whatever reason. There just isn't any video around, so it was cool to share that moment with him. We do a cool little Father's Day trip with the Royals, and I got to spend time with him in Tampa and see him take a little BP, and he didn't get hurt, which was a good thing, so he put on a little bit of a show, which was fun to watch.
It's a good time. He did put on a show. Kansas City at Detroit tonight. They're in second in the AL Central. Whit Merrifield, my guest. Whit, great to have you back on. Thanks so much for doing it. Good luck.
Thanks, Jim.
Whit Merrifield, great story. Great, great story. That's a guy who just persevered, just stayed on it, kept grinding, kept working. Didn't let any negativity creep in, at least not enough to set him back. And now look where he's at. Look what he's doing. Royals fans, do you have a feeling about this particular team and the fact that they were buying and not selling at the trade deadline was a good thing? Still a week to go, and we'll see how it plays out. We are open. There's a window right now for you. Daniel Cormier is supposed to join us at 20 past next hour. I've got the end of this hour. I've got the top of the third hour. It's your window. Go ahead and use it. 1-800-636-8686. In the meantime, I've been talking a lot about the Smack-Off. I'm mixing the Smack-Off in and around all the big stories and my takes and my rants. But it's a big thing. I'm not going to just show up here on Friday. It takes time to set this thing up. And for those of you who are not aware, like maybe you're relatively new to the program, maybe you just found the show. Seems kind of hard to believe that I've done this as long as I have, but we still are adding new listeners, people that don't know the show, what the Smack Off is. It's the best of the best. For a long time, I would take telephone calls, and a lot of them, you know, for every great, great phone call, there were probably 10 terrible phone calls. And it's just, it is what it is. There's no way around that. So what I did was I kept paring it down, and tried to find a way to only take good telephone calls every single day. It proved to be impossible, but I figured out I could do it not every day, but one day. So for one day, we have the best of the best call the program. And that day is coming up on Friday, and it's going to be our 23rd edition of the Smack Off. When I first did it, I thought, you know, we'll see how it goes. I have no idea. Went well. Let's try it again. Did it a second year. Yeah, it went pretty well. Maybe we go a third year. I had no idea when I first started this thing would go on for more than two decades. Yet here we are. And speaking of two decades, I think a guy who's been here ever since the onset, the inception, I think the guy was here before I was here. I think the guy knew me before I knew me. Trapper from Dana Point.
It's usually tramping out today, buddy. It's no retreat, no surrender, all in next Friday and beyond.
Trapper RSVP'd. Trapper is battling cancer right now. Battling. He's a scrapper. He's a fighter. He's a mauler. He's a brawler. Trapper. When he RSVP'd, he said he was stage 4, yet he would be here Friday. So we'll see him. Stevie Carbone, who has gone on to make quite a name for himself in his business. Steve Carbone worked on this program way back in the day. He worked for me and was good at the job. And then he showed up in 1998. Carbone won this thing nearly two decades ago, and he's still going strong. No official RSVP yet from Carbone, but he won it in 98, and here's hoping he shows up on Friday.
$5,000. Do you know how many teardrop tattoos Vic and NoCal can add to his collection with $5,000? Do you know how many blowouts at the salon Brad and Corona can get with that extra cake?
$5,000. $5,000 to the winner. Hey, look, some of these guys are in it for the dough, which is fine. That's why we pony up the cash. Stevie Carbone, no official RSVP, but knowing Steve the way I know Steve, if he can make it, he will. And then you've got the golden ticket guys, the guys that you all want to get schmacky.
I've got a golden ticket.
Guys that you may or may not have heard of. Couple of Canadians to start. Tyler in Edmonton. Have not heard from Ty in quite some time. But the way he's playing it, he's got a golden ticket, and he's going to do whatever he can to hold on to his golden ticket.
For all you fat Americans trying to lose a couple hundred pounds, quit filling your cookie jars with Big Macs, quit putting Pepsi in your cereal, and most of all, quit being lazy as hell and reading books about cheap, quick gimmick workouts, and just go work out. War lean Canadians. I'm out.
You Americans are fat. My man, if that's what you're going to show up with on Friday, you're not going to win. Matt in Vancouver. If I'm not mistaken, we've never had Canadian representation, yet we're looking at two Canadians with golden tickets. Matt in Vancouver's got one.
Rome, once you put a smack-talking, man-candy Canadian like me in to punk these has-been muffin-top Americans, it makes fellow Canadian and dirty idiot Tyler in Edmonton completely expendable, so we can just let nature take its course. Rome, please allow me to single-handedly salvage this 2017 golden ticket class. And let hit me with
Matt in Vancouver. That's pretty clean, Avi. Canadian on Canadian crime. Those are some of the golden ticket recipients. Again, having that ticket is not guaranteed you'll get on the air. You stand a better chance of getting on the air if you're calling leading up to it and you're building some momentum. The best of the best get on the air on Friday. All right, next hour, Daniel Cormier, UFC light heavyweight champion, is going to join me in studio. So your best chance to get through is at the top of the hour, namely about 10 minutes from right now. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.